This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Tig?
Cheryl?
We cover a lot of stuff in this. I say that. But we do.
There's some heavy stuff in this one.
There's some heavy stuff and also some ridiculous stuff that has nothing to do with the heavy stuff.
But that's par for the course. That's how this show goes.
Yes.
We go off the rails. But this episode really does have some heavy stuff, but people should still listen to it. Because I think there's some conversations that are
necessary.
Yeah.
And like I said, also we manage to have a few unrelated laughs.
Yes. Yes. Because that is how this show goes.
That
is a comedy podcast. Yeah.
It's a comedy.
But sometimes documentaries aren't funny. So we have to veer off.
Even the Tickled. Remember Tickled and we thought that was going to be hilarious?
Isn't. Yeah.
Ladies and jerks, welcome to Killer Sally.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast, and Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Hey, Tig, hey.
Hey, Cheryl, hey.
First of all, how did your pickleball go?
Well, it was really fun, but it was, you know, months ago, right? A couple of months ago that I taped it.
Right, but it just aired, right?
Yeah, I thought you thought it was, a lot
Live.
Of people thought, people were writing me going,
look to your left.
I hope
it's
the game goes
in.
Well. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry I missed it, but did you win?
Well, you can always stream it on Paramount Plus.
Wait, I sure will.
I don't want to give that away.
Oh.
I want to encourage people to go watch it. Stephanie and I watched it. We streamed it this morning and I found it to be very fun.
Can you tell us who your partner was?
Will Ferrell.
Oh, and do you know Will?
I do. Do you?
I do, but just not very well. But he was at the Groundlings Theater. We weren't at the Groundlings Theater together, but we're both from the Groundlings Theater. And
yeah,
his wife had a baby the same day that I had Kat at the same hospital just down the hall. So it's kind of hilarious to see Will walking around.
Do they know that?
I think so. I mean, we don't all celebrate every year.
Yeah. So they have the same birthday?
Yeah.
Your kids? Yeah.
I mean, I think so. I've never looked it up, but I...
Right. Well, I wasn't sure. You know, sometimes people are in there for a couple of days, or a week or, you know.
If my memory is good, which it's not, it was the same day. I think it was the same day.
Okay.
But, okay, so you guys had a ball, a pickleball?
We had a pickleball. We did. I had a great time. I think, you know, I played with a fractured femur.
Oh, my.
Did you know that?
I keep forgetting you have a fractured femur. But you've
got... Yeah,
how can you play pickleball when you have to use your alligator walking cane?
I didn't have my alligator walking cane at that point.
You were just going on adrenaline.
Well, my doctor had told me to stay off of it, and yeah. I just said, I want to do this tournament, so I'm going to stay off of it for a month, and then he was like, then you have to be on a cane for a few months. And so,
you're like a football player at the Super Bowl.
That's exactly what I'm like. That is
whatever
exactly...
happens, I've got to take it. I've got to just take it.
I was just so excited, and I had already committed in my head, and I had trained for a couple of weeks and to the point where I couldn't walk.
Wow.
And then I just thought, okay, well, I just won't play, and then I'll wear a knee brace and hope that there's some sort of support there. And I plowed through, you know, I think it was like, Thomas, was it like 105 or 107 degree heat as well?
And humid.
And it was humid. It was like, I can't believe everyone made it out alive.
Wow.
And then not to mention my leg is fractured.
Your femur.
So, yeah.
Why do they, do you know why they call it pickleball?
There's no way to know.
I'm just wondering. I mean, I played it once, but I don't recall like ever like shouting pickleball or that's a pickle.
That's a ball. I don't know. I mean, I had heard that the person that started it had a dog named Pickle. That I had heard.
Thomas is shaking his head yes to that.
Mm-hmm.
I know somebody who had a dog named Mr. Pickles, and you had to call him Mr. Pickles and not just Pickles.
Mr. Pickles Ball.
Mr. Pickles. What if my friend invented pickleball and I don't even know it?
Yeah, it would have come up. It definitely would have come up.
It would have come up. Okay, I mean, we do have a lot to talk about, but...
Mm-hmm.
Right before we started talking, Elizabeth Holmes, Theranos,
mm-hmm.
the billion-dollar herpes detector.
Yes, the herpes detector. In fact, I forgot about the herpes detector bit until you just mentioned it. You, before we got on to record today, mentioned that she got sentenced, and it never even crossed my mind about the herpes detector, when that's like the biggest, that's what she's known for, is her herpes detector. And I just remembered that it was somebody that was, you know, dishonest.
Yeah. So if you don't know, Elizabeth Holmes was 19.
Well, if you don't know, you should listen to our episode first. Yeah.
What is it called? Theranos? Thomas?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Something. It doesn't matter. They'll find it.
It was called The Inventor.
Oh.
The Inventor. She invented stories and lies. But go
and
ahead.
A herpes detector. But it's a fascinating story, and you should listen to it. I mean, of course, listen to our coverage of it, because you'll learn everything you need to know about the case.
Yeah. It's one of our best episodes. Would you agree?
I would agree. My face hurt after recording that one because it's so hard to even imagine everything that went on. But yes, a lot of people gave her millions, maybe billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And she was trying to sample people's blood with just a drop to check them for like 200 different diseases and conditions. And at the end of the day, the only thing that they got cleared for was to detect herpes. So I don't know why we thought that was hilarious, because we're childish. But anyway.
It was one of those building moments when your brain is kind of collecting girl can dream. All the information you have. Okay. And you're like, oh,
and
oh
then,
my God.
And then, I guess we should just get
right to
it.
It's just a herpes detector. And it costs investors billions of dollars to detect herpes.
At Walgreens. Oh, no, I can't. This is how we're starting out.
I don't have herpes. I just do want to put it out there that I do. Not that I'm looking to date, but I do.
Yeah. And I like that you'll come right on and tell us.
Yeah. I just want people to know I do not have herpes.
Oh.
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay. So, Tig, shall we get into it?
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm here for.
I mean, it's hard because, well, just the title alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know that it's bad news.
Yeah, it's not a happy story.
Today we're talking about Killer Sally. It's a 2022 docuseries directed by Nanette Burstein. The documentary outlines the life of Sally McNeil. Can you hear my dogs barking? They're going crazy.
That's why you get cats.
But the dogs tell me when there's danger nearby. And it sounds like danger is at the door.
See, I don't want to know when there's danger nearby.
You just want it to be
a surprise. Yeah. I don't want a huge warning and a countdown to the end.
Oh.
I want to be asleep with my cats and we all just go out together.
Go peacefully.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes when you're close to danger, it's helpful because your adrenaline pumps and it allows you to do extraordinary things that you wouldn't normally be able to do.
Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. I have not come close to that.
The documentary outlines the life of Sally McNeil, her wrestling career, and the tragic ending to her abusive marriage, featuring interviews with Sally, her family, and friends of her and Ray McNeil. Killer Sally is available to watch on Netflix.
This made me very sad, upset, sick to my stomach.
This was very difficult. So just once again to remind people, this is a comedy podcast and we don't think any of this is funny and it's
and
sad.
And when things get really tough, we usually veer away from it and we'll share personal stories and anecdotes that might not have anything to do with it.
Yes. So the documentary begins with Sally McNeil, a white blonde lady holding a gun and introducing herself as a Marine of 11 years, now a civilian, and she leaves a phone number for anyone interested in wrestling her. So this was like a video that she had put out back in the day because that's how she made money. Wrestling people. She was a bodybuilder.
Then started wrestling for cash.
Right. So she, her first competition was on Valentine's Day in 1987. She took fourth place in the Armed Forces Bodybuilding Championship. And then she met another bodybuilder, Ray McNeil. And she describes Ray as a hunk of a man who was polite and kind when they first met. So Sally and Ray would watch Arnold Schwarzenegger movies together. They dated for 2 months before they got married, and he became a stepdad to her children. This was so hard to watch because at the beginning of this, it was lighthearted and they showed a lot of bodybuilding and a lot of bodybuilders. And it's an interesting, quirky world. Don't you think?
Yeah, to say the very least. I would say she's interesting and quirky.
I think anybody who does anything to an extreme, you know, they have sort of have their own culture going. One time I went into audition for a beer commercial.
So this is how we veer off.
Yeah.
Or as you're doing, you beer off. But go on.
You beer off. And there were guys in there, like really hot guys. They must have been shirtless, I guess. And
gross.
Before they went into audition, they would do push-ups. So there were guys just like doing push-ups and girls just sitting there in their mini skirts.
And is that to pump up?
Yes.
Or to like get like jacked up? Energize, probably.
No, it's to pump up. So anytime you see a guy, well, I'm generalizing, but anytime you see a guy in a nude scene or in a commercial where they have their shirt off or something like that, they just did push-ups right before the camera rolled. That's just how we do it in Hollywood. Have you not experienced that?
I might have, but I also probably didn't pay attention to why they were doing it. I probably in my head thought, well, this is
a good time to get a little workout in.
Being a man.
Although I will say, I've been in several scenes with Larry David when he was shirtless. Or have I? Larry seems to always be wearing a shirt. But anyway, I don't think he pumps up before a shirtless scene.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he should.
Maybe his career would take off if he did.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he would get another season of his show.
I'm going to call him. But anyway, it reminded me of these guys because before they go out to compete, these bodybuilders, they are just like pumping up so their, you know, veins bulge.
Do you like veins? Like when people have veins in their arms or?
I mean, it's not what I go for. Mm-hmm. But if there's like a handsome guy with veins in his arms, because his muscles are so big, he can't help it. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. What about you?
I remember when I used to ride, I would cycle long distance. I used to get veins. My veins would pop out of my arms.
Braggadocious alert!
And some people were grossed out by it. Mm. And then other people were like, oh, I think that looks cool.
Sexy. It's, you know, the eye of the beholder, I suppose.
Yeah, I never knew it was...
like a thing that people aspire to?
Or even had an opinion about. I was just like, I would get off my bike and I had veins popping out.
Whoa.
That's all.
Those were the days.
Those days are really gone. And we have to take a break.
Oh, no.
And we will be right back on Tig and Cheryl True Story.
Mm. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
And we are back on Tig and Cheryl True Story.
True Story. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about Sally McNeil, who was a bodybuilder. And she met a guy named Ray. Mm-hmm. They had a lot in common. They dated for 2 months and then they got married. And he became a stepfather to her children.
Would you say this is something people could learn from? Maybe don't get married after 2 months? Or do you feel like, well, if you're feeling it, go with it? Because I've always heard it's good to spend a calendar year with somebody. See how they go through the seasons. See how they go through the holidays.
I mean, it's wise. Mm-hmm. But don't you know some people who they say, oh, you know when you know.
I knew when I knew. But I'm also glad that I got to see how Stephanie is in the springtime.
In the calendar.
In the wintertime. And, you know.
What if she asked you to marry her and you were like, I just need to see springtime, Stephanie, before I commit to anything. I think it's wise. It's wise. It's probably a good idea if you can do it, if you have that kind of discipline.
There's people that have not had premarital sex that are waiting to get married.
So sometimes they cut it short.
And so they're like, you're the one. Let's get married. We're 19.
This is going to work.
You find yourself in...
25 and I was going to say horny. Oh, it's just a throwback to our last. No, but I'm not going to say it.
Well, you already did, but go ahead.
Okay. So Sally's daughter, Shantina, who's in this documentary, she said Sally was beyond and wholeheartedly in love with her stepdad, Ray. And Sally's son, John, remembers the family getting attention everywhere they went, which was, you know, it's the fun part of this docuseries is watching the early days with them.
Yeah. I have to say the kids are extraordinarily likable.
I know.
I mean, like,
seemingly down to earth, and they were pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But they were showing pictures of the family, like, going to Disneyland. And Ray loved the tank tops, okay? And also the tank tops with the thinnest straps that kind of go down below the nipple.
Well, to me, when I was a kid and I would see those, I always thought it was because they're so muscular, the tank top stretched.
Right.
To just like...
I wonder if that's what it's supposed to make you feel.
He also had little spaghetti strap bottoms, too.
What is a spaghetti strap bottom?
I don't know. Just a little tiny pair of panties.
You did?
No. Well, look who you're talking to.
Ray.
Ray.
Oh,
the person we're talking about.
Yes.
You think I'm going to veer off and start talking about my underwear?
Yes, I was imagining you.
I would hope you're not imagining me.
That's why it knocked me off my feet for a second. I had to like take a breath.
Yeah.
Yes, they walked around Disney World like totally jacked, like muscles bulging in the tight like biker shorts or little tiny shorts, and then the two kids were just seemingly normal kids that wanted to run around and eat cotton candy, and then you had the two parents that looked. like they just stepped out of Gold's Gym.
Yes.
There were like buses that would slow down when they'd drive by to look at
them. When you have Herculean parents.
Yes.
People look.
Stop and stare.
Yeah.
So Sally worked as a cook for the Marines. Money was really tight. They both really wanted to go from amateur bodybuilder to pro. Mm-hmm. Ray left the Marines in 1990. He wanted to win Mr. Olympia, and he won his first pro competition and quickly became popular in the bodybuilding community.
Mm.
He was very handsome.
She was attractive, too.
She was attractive, too. These two, this couple that were extraordinary in every way. And Shantina recalls spray painting her mom and dad with fake tanner before competitions and seeing her dad wearing skimpy underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're 8 or 10 and you're, you know, that's a normal day is just spray tanning your parents. And Ray would eat 114 eggs a week.
Oh, God.
How do you even do that?
I don't think I've done that in my entire life, and I'm almost 52, and I've only been a vegan for almost 6 years.
Oh, so you mean you don't think you've eaten 114 eggs in your entire life?
I don't.
Mm-mm.
Do you think you have?
I would say yes.
Yeah, maybe in, like, baked goods.
Back in the day, did you not eat, like, eggs for breakfast or anything?
I did. I was just a very picky eater. Like, I mainly loved cheese and pickles.
Ah, all roads lead to pickles.
Mm-hmm.
Have we talked about that pickle juice is good for leg cramps?
Probably.
Anyway, I'm just letting people know that.
Do people come here for medical advice?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They do.
Good.
We give some great advice on this show.
Yes.
People are always commenting on it. Okay. There was a guy named Wayne D'Amelia. He was a former chairman of the International Federation of Bodybuilding.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about that everyone was on steroids. And that one year they decided, okay, we're going to test the bodybuilders for steroids. And if they test positive, they can't compete. And the fans were very upset because everybody didn't look as jacked as usual. So they stopped doing that. It's just a little sidebar.
Thank you. Let's stay on track, though.
Oh, okay. So at some point, Ray wanted Sally to quit bodybuilding and focus solely on supporting his bodybuilding. So at some point, Sally was driving to Tijuana to get illegal steroids for Ray. I mean, this is when it really, the wheels started coming off and you're like, whoa, everything about this seems destructive.
Yeah.
Female bodybuilders in the 90s were making significantly less money than the men.
It's the only industry that you see that happening.
I mean, it used to be, and it probably still is, the only industry where women are usually make more than men is modeling.
Oh, is that right?
That's what I've always thought, anyway.
Have you been a model ever?
I'm sure I told you. Listen, if I've already told you this story, just bluebell it, because I'm sure I told you. But back in the day, when I'm saying back in the day a lot. When I lived in Florida, I was young. I was early 20s, and I had headshots.
Wait, was this in Florida?
Yes.
Good God.
Yeah. And my hair is very curly.
No, no, no. Was this documentary? This documentary was not in Florida.
No,
California.
This was in California.
Oceanside.
No, okay. But this story is in Florida.
Of course.
And I'm sure I've told you this before. It doesn't matter. But
Who cares?
I get a call from my agent, and he was like, great news. You've been booked for a print job. And I was like, a print job? Like a model? A modeling job? And he said, yeah. And I said, oh, I didn't even know I was up for a modeling job. That is, do I need to go meet with them? And he was like, no, they saw your picture and they want to book you. So it's like,
was it for X-Lax?
Close. So I get there.
Gas X.
And I've, you know, I feel like I'm looking pretty good. And I said, what is this for, by the way? And they said, oh, it's for a hair salon and they repair bad perms. So we want you to hold up your hair. Hold up your hair and look like side eye, look at it with a face like, uh-oh, you know, bad perm. And then the caption said, bad perm.
I have diarrhea.
I have a bad perm and diarrhea. It said, bad perm, we can help. And it was really sad because I didn't even have a perm. And I was like,
but you did have diarrhea.
I did after that shoot. I was like, well, that's what I get for being full of myself when I was like, I am going to my modeling job today.
I've never even been asked to do anything like that.
Oh, so I should feel lucky?
Bummed. I would feel bummed.
Well, there's still time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my one modeling. No, actually, I was in a catalog once. I wore sweatpants.
Okay, well, let's get back to the story.
We're back. Okay.
We were never gone. We were just, Cheryl was daydreaming about her modeling career.
Well, you asked me about it. Okay. So money was tight. Now Sally began to do wrestling home videos for a guy named Bill Wick to make extra money. And the video is all centered around a man being beat up by a muscular woman. The men that enjoyed this type of thing were called schmoes, which is odd. I didn't know that was like, I didn't know schmo meant something so specific. Did you know that?
No, I thought it was like average, you know, like a typical Joe
Schmo. Well,
I didn't know that he had a muscular woman strangling him with her thighs. We will be right back on Tig and Cheryl. True story.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back on Tig and Cheryl, True Story.
So Sally was doing pretty good work with her. She did not like to refer to them as schmoes because she felt like that was a derogatory term.
And she was, you know, happy with this cash she was making.
Okay, so this is when things take a turn. So Sally and Shantina recall Ray's physical abuse towards Sally. He often choked her and broke her nose. And Sally reported the abuse to her first sergeant, but Ray was quickly released. And then the abuse got worse. So Sally kept a sawed-off shotgun in the house for protection when Ray was traveling. And Sally remembers the physical abuse getting worse around Ray's shows when he was taking lots of steroids. And Sally started making plans to move her and her kids back to Pennsylvania. So this relationship was toxic at this point. It's bad for everybody.
No turning back. And no. So many people end up in that situation. Maybe somebody's listening right now who's in that situation. It's not turning around.
Yeah. So if, you know, find a way, find a way to get out. Because it's, I know it's not easy, but
no,
surround yourself with some support and get out.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, as I've mentioned many times in my life, that when you're diagnosed with cancer or some illness that seems bigger than you and sometimes ends up being bigger than you, and you don't know where to turn, there are so many organizations and charities, people that are truly standing by.
Waiting, hoping that somebody will reach out to them so they can help you.
And it is the same in this type of situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So nobody's saying any illness or getting out of a toxic situation is easy by any stretch of the imagination.
Not at all.
And if you don't do it for yourself, do it for your children.
Yeah. So, on Valentine's Day 1995, Ray and Sally got into a fight. When Sally asked Ray where he had been, he was on 5 different steroids, getting ready for a show, and was extra hostile. And after Ray choked Sally again, she was afraid he would kill her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were fighting, I think, in the kitchen, and she went and grabbed her sawed-off shotgun from the bedroom. Sally told Ray to leave the house. He refused, and Sally shot him twice and killed him. And it's especially tragic because Shantina and John were both home when Ray was shot.
And that was like,
that's just, it's beyond comprehension.
I think that when the questioning and everything was happening at the police station with the children and the innocence and sweetness in their voices and the questions and the statements and the everything was where I was like, oh God, I don't know if I can
watch
push
it
through and watch this.
It was
It was one of the saddest, most devastating things.
And no, it was so sad.
I was truly stunned and sick to my stomach and sad.
I know, I felt the same way. One of those times when you wish you could turn back time and he would have made a different choice and the kids.
And she didn't ask for an attorney and
all
of the complicating elements.
Yes. So the children were taken by Child Services. to a group home. And then Daniel Goldstein, who was the prosecutor in Sally's case, you know, opposing her, viewed Sally as unremorseful and questioned her claims of self-defense because of her physical strength and accounts of her aggression.
Mm-hmm.
And then William Raphael, Sally's defense attorney, was able to convince the judge that Sally was a battered woman and reduced her bail from $1 million to $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sally's wrestling, we're not going to call him schmoes because she doesn't want to call him schmoes, but her wrestling male buddies, they all chipped in to make her bail.
Mm-hmm.
In court, Sally's claim of self-defense and battered women syndrome was refuted when they found evidence of her going back into the bedroom to reload the gun and shoot him a second time. Then during the court case, Sally really wanted to testify, even though her attorney said, please don't. It never ends well when somebody wants to, you know, somebody who's being accused testifies on their own behalf. And it did not go well because one of the most damaging pieces of evidence was a poster of Sally posing with the actual murder weapon. I mean, she's like, you know, has her muscles bulging with the sawed-off shotgun and the title above her that says Killer Sally McNeil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just beyond. Sally was found guilty of second-degree murder, and the jurors did not believe she acted in self-defense.
I feel like it's such an example of, I mean, obviously this kind of thing happens all the time, but especially, you know, 25 years ago and longer.
What do you mean?
I just feel like people listen to women a little more.
Oh, now.
A little more.
Yeah, a little. Well, we're definitely, you know, we're definitely as a society shining a light on that more than before.
Well, it's really interesting because when I was in New York a couple of days ago, I was out with this comedian that I've known for years, and I was so shocked when she told me that it wasn't until like her adult life that she even believed that men assaulted women.
What do you mean? She just didn't believe that it happened.
Yeah. She just thought women were complaining and... Father! And she just...
Oh, my God.
I said the same thing. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, I just thought they were complaining. I don't know. She said, I've never been assaulted and I just thought
Can't
women
imagine
were...
It.
Yeah. And I was like, wow. I was shocked.
That is shocking, especially coming from a woman.
And a female comedian, because, you know, you're around some weird guys.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, drinking, drugs, weird, like, road gigs.
Behavior.
Yeah, you're kind of, but it's also like, I'm in that world, and I've never seen cocaine in my life. So I do know you can be in these scenarios and not experience certain things, but I just was fascinated. But I mean, she believes women now.
Okay.
And to also kind of wrap that point up, she said she blames it on deeply rooted misogyny that she took on as a woman.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's complicated.
Yeah. But I've seen that with not just other women, but I would say women in comedy, where they are defending men that are, you know, sexually abusing people or harassing people. And they are just like feeling like they're one of the guys too. And so they're not defending the women. They're defending their guy friends.
That is bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God, it's all very, very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one thing that was really interesting about this documentary is when you hear Sally talk about it, she was always just pretty matter of fact about everything.
And, you know, I have to say, this is not meant as a connection to these two people.
Mm-hmm.
But while I was watching Sally talk, I kept thinking, who does she remind me of?
Mm.
Who does she remind me of? And it might take you watching her again and watching this person again, or maybe not, but the guy, that murderer in Galveston, Texas, that HBO documentary, Robert Durst.
Oh.
They both did this. They would both
blink their eyes really blink their strongly. Eyes a lot.
And I can't do it now that I'm not watching her, but while I was watching her, she looked like it, and then I could kind of recreate it myself. And I realized, I was like, oh, it's Robert Durst that did that too. Do you remember how he would blink all the time? Did you notice she would too?
No, I didn't notice that, but I did feel her disconnection with emotions about it. Mm-hmm. And Robert Durst was the same way. I mean, he never got emotional or, you know.
I would say he was like on the other end even further.
Yeah.
But yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So how can somebody talk about something so sad and tragic and be matter of fact about it?
Well, I mean, there can be just like having to disassociate, you know,
in order to talk about it,
to survive and to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, Sally was released from prison in 2020 after serving 25 years. Her connection with her children suffered over the years. And now it was very interesting, too, because these two beautiful kids that she has that are now grown up, and they both went into the military. Did you find that interesting?
Well, yes and no. But, you know, they're in Oceanside, which is a huge military area of Southern California. I have family down there, and it's very military. And then also, when there's aggression, you know, it can probably connect you to the military.
Yeah.
And then also, it sounds like they also didn't have a lot of money.
Right.
And a lot of people go into the military when they don't have money or direction and...
or a lot of options.
Yeah. I'm not saying any of those are the reasons why.
Right.
Or they can just be hoping that that would...
Turn their lives around in a...
Yeah. I think there's a lot of different reasons, but I thought they actually all made sense.
I know. It was just so hard because John talks about being deployed several times and has PTSD, and not only from his time in the military, but also watching what happened with his parents.
He seems so fragile.
I know.
And look, he shared without detail that he wasn't a great husband. He had married, and who knows what that even means.
Right.
But I just, I feel weird saying from the time he was little to his, you know, adulthood.
Like you've known him.
Right. But I was just like, oh my gosh. I care about these kids.
I know. And he talks, I mean, they were very candid, these two.
Very candid.
Yeah. It was really beautiful the way they shared with people. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's very hard. And the circumstances.
Oh my gosh, if you're embarrassed that your parents are, you know, spray tanned and muscular walking around in, you know, a G-string essentially around Disneyland, you're probably pretty mortified that there was...
Right. This tragedy. You watched your mother shoot your father. And then, and they did talk about that. One of the kids did say, you know, or maybe Sally, I don't know, but somebody in it said that it used to be attention in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were bodybuilders and people stopped and looked. And And then then there was so much attention in a very negative, overwhelming way. Mm-hmm. And for a while, John didn't want anything to do with his mom. And Shantina stopped visiting her mom, too, because it was too emotionally difficult for them. Yeah. But now they're all grown up, and Shantina has, you know, introduced Sally to her grandson, and Sally talks on the phone to John. And then it was very sweet because Sally met a guy.
Mm-hmm. When she finally got out of jail.
She got out of jail and she met a man at the veteran support group and they fell in love and she got remarried.
Yep.
So
that's a rough story.
That is a rough story. It really does take such a dark turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very difficult. Well, okay. Are you ready for our final thoughts?
I am.
It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did.
You did?
I did. I did. When during the questioning and hearing those kids crying and trying, and just the way John was trying to make a case for his mother.
I know. And
I was so like, oh
yeah, God. John was young. He was probably, I don't know, 9 or something. And yeah, he was basically acting like the grown up in the situation. Mm-hmm. In this
suggesting ways that she could
defend herself.
Yeah. Tell them that he did that to you. Tell them. I don't know. It killed me.
It was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking. Yeah.
What about you?
I did not cry, but I was very sad. And I knew it was going to be sad because my sister called me and said, did you finish Killer Sally? And at that point, I was just like at the bodybuilding stuff. And she sounded very sad. And I was like, okay, don't tell me anything. And I have to finish watching it. So I knew it was going to be bad. Okay. And who were you attracted to? It's really hard to talk about things like this after a sad one.
Yeah, we can skip that.
We'll skip it. It was it was a tough one.
It was a tough one with several physically attractive people.
There were several physically attractive people.
But yeah, we can move along.
So that's all for this week's episode. Next week, we'll be talking about Orgasm Inc., The Story of One Taste. And that's on Netflix. Tig, before we go, should we do some true fan mail?
Sure.
This is from Anna Maria. Hey, Anna Maria.
Hey.
I'm an OG fan of the pod, but the last episode, Gilda, was my favorite so far. At one point, Tig mentioned briefly that her brother hadn't attended their grandmother's funeral, and I had to rewind to make sure I heard correctly. My father recently died of sudden undetected advanced cancer. He asked to not have a funeral, but my family gathered anyway. I flew across the country to be there, but couldn't get out of the car when the time came. Actually, my 96-year-old grandmother wobbled up a steep hill and dragged me out of the car in the end, but I always felt abnormal that I wasn't ready to deal with the pain publicly just days after he died when all my other family members seemed to think it was necessary. I felt a huge wave of relief when Tig mentioned her brother hadn't attended his grandmother's funeral. Strange how such a small comment could affect me so deeply, but it did. You two being candid about the hard things and which docs make you cry has been really helpful to me over the past year as I've been dealing with the grief of losing my dad. Also, I just finished an undergrad in film studies, so it's great to have such an educational podcast to fill the academic void. Whoa.
Wow.
Anna Maria.
It is crazy. Yeah, sorry for your loss, and it is so crazy how one little moment or one word or sentence can stop you in your tracks and
and you can really connect with somebody. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay. That was, thank you, Anna Maria. Okay, one last one. Mm-hmm. This is from Amanda. Hey, Amanda.
Hey, Amanda.
I love this podcast and I'm working my way through each and every episode. I usually listen when I cook dinner, but have also played some of the episodes while my husband and I travel. It has truly become part of our daily conversations, and it isn't uncommon for my husband to come into a room saying, "Hey, girl, hey," or to answer my question with, "There's no way to know, LOL." My favorite just happened on a day when I was preparing for a dinner party. My husband walked into the kitchen and said, "Hey, honey, are you just tic-tacking?" Are you just tic-tacking? In a world that can be difficult and stressful, it is a joy to play this podcast and laugh out loud. Thanks so much and keep the episodes coming. Oh my God, I love this guy. Hey, honey, that hey, is... you just tic-tacking?
Tic-tacking around? I have to say, I've been teasing Stephanie because she has started listening to a podcast and she is so into it. Mm-hmm. And she talks about it incessantly to me. And I said, okay, I think I finally understand what our listeners' spouses are experiencing when our listeners are talking, because I'm just, I find myself going, Okay. Oh, she did. Okay. All right. Well, I have to get on this call. And then Stephanie will be like, well, hold on. And then she said, and I'm like, oh my God.
That is too funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do when people don't, you're not listening to the same ones? It's just like, okay. Oh, good. Yeah. That does sound funny.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, tic-tacking?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Herpes detector. Okay, yeah, yeah. Tig, is there anything that you would like to promote?
I would like to promote Pickled.
Oh.
On Paramount Plus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're re-airing it on CBS, but you can definitely see it on Paramount Plus. And then, oh, you know, Star Trek is also on Paramount Plus.
Oh, and you have a real relationship with Paramount Plus.
It's the holidays. So get my book. It's called I'm Just a Person. Get my albums. I have, I don't know, five or so or more. And I'm going to have a merchandise page up on my website, which is tignotaro.com. And then you can buy any and all of those things signed.
Whoa.
Yes.
Yeah, that's signed. A nice gift for someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can get you one, Cheryl.
I would love that.
Also, I want to thank all of the Snurkbulls that are rating the show and subscribing. Keep it up. And then head on over to Don't Ask Tig and rate and subscribe and listen to that, my other podcast. What do you have going on, Cheryl?
Well, I'm excited about this Celebrity IOU on HGTV. And it airs December 19th. But it's really fun. And I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it, but I'll be watching it with Dr. Becky Hines and the Florida crew. But I think it'll be a lot of fun. We do a little makeover for my friend Sarita.
Great.
I think it's going to be great. And then, you know, the usual Curb and other stuff.
Great.
All right.
Whew. Should we do it again?
Yes. Yes. Let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with production assistance from Bobby Pearson. Music by David Sesson. Special thanks to Gabby Kovacic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.